Well, if you haven't heard it 1,000 times already, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Very good. Very good. We are so blessed to be here. We have had 3 services today because today is one of those rare instances where the last Sunday or the 4th Sunday of Advent was this morning. Now you have to light the candle. So we gathered and we had a very good congregation this morning. I was very pleased and very surprised at the numbers. And it was such a blessing that we thought we'd do it again at 5:30. Only this time, we put the white candle in the middle and call it Christmas. What a blessing that service was. And here we have a congregation who is singing their hearts out the love of Jesus Christ. And he loves us just as much, if not more. Thank you for coming tonight, and thank you for celebrating his birth. A Sunday school teacher asked her kindergarten to draw a picture of the manger scene at Bethlehem. In the corner of one student's sketch was a very plump, jolly-looking fellow. No comments. The teacher, pointing to the portly characters, asked, tell me about this person. All the young pupil said, that's Round John Virgin. I'll wait for it. I think you'll agree that some people get confused about what we're celebrating and why we're celebrating it and who should be the focus of our celebration. We have put so many things out there that antlers and chimneys, you know what I mean, instead of a stable. Amazingly, this year it's been different. I don't know about you, but I've been hearing that word more and more and more. The word is the day we're celebrating, Christmas. It is such a blessing. Jesus should be the focus of our celebration, and we're reflecting tonight on the true meaning of Christmas. The angels delivered a message to the shepherds on the night of Jesus' birth. And we learn what Christmas is all about. God sending his son to earth. And we're going to unpack that a little more later in this message. We learn what Christmas is about. This was not man's idea. It was God's idea from the very beginning. Christmas wasn't humanity's initiative. It was God's initiative. Christmas came about because of God. And tonight, let's think about the reasons why God did what he did at Christmas. First of all, God wanted to embrace us with his love. The angel said, I bring you good news that will be to all the people. There are a whole lot of people who could use some good news. Those who feel lonely and unloved, isolated and unforgiven, even unimportant. Did you know that one poll says that 1 out of 5 Americans say that life is meaningless? That's sad. People do get lonely. We all do from time to time. As a matter of fact, the renowned Albert Einstein once said, "It's strange to be known so universally, but yet be so personally lonely." But we're not alone. We never can be alone if we know Jesus Christ. St. Augustine had the right idea to zero in on John 3:16 when he said, God loves each one of us as if there were only one of us. That's how personal God's love for us is. Through sending his son, God has fully demonstrated his love for us. The Apostle Paul got it absolutely on the nose when he wrote to the Romans. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Because of Jesus Christ's sacrifice for us on the cross, we can, through faith in him, enter into a loving relationship with Almighty God. And this has no expiration date, my friends. This is everlasting. Paul wrote Romans chapter 8, I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that the truth? God wants to comfort us. And he has angels say, do not be afraid. The shepherds were fearful because they encountered the glory of God. Let's stop for a minute and think what it must have been like that night when all of a sudden the heavens opened up and there was this glorious light and this noise of singing. You know, just recently, I saw that there was a rocket that was shot off in California. And because of, I guess, conditions in the sky, atmospheric conditions, it looked otherworldly. And people freaked out. People were hiding. All sorts of phone calls going to the government. It was wild. Could you imagine if the angels came today? Wow. I'm in awe. Just unbelievable. Unbelievable. The shepherds must have just, their knees must have been knocking. Why? Because they encountered the glory of the Lord. They were knowing their own sinfulness. They trembled in the presence of God. Jesus came so that we could have peace in our hearts, knowing that in him, we not only have his love, but we have his forgiveness. And we don't need to live in fear of God's judgment and condemnation. Now, many people today do not believe that salvation comes in Jesus Christ alone. We've heard it said that he is one of many ways to salvation. The world needs a Savior because without one, let's face it, we'd be lost. Do you believe that you can't be saved? Is there anybody here? You don't have to raise your hand. Does anybody here feel that they're a lost cause? That they can't be saved? Jesus Christ will save you. He promised. Come to him just as you are, warts and all. I always like to say, God loves you just the way you are. But he loves you too much to leave you that way. Christ will save you. I want you to hear these words from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I thank God that he loves us enough to send us a Savior, Jesus Christ, his Son. Christmas came into being because of God's desire to enrich us with his joy. And the angels brought the message that night. And they said, we bring you tidings of great joy. We all have an opportunity to have a relationship with Jesus, and he wants to fill us with his joy. Have you heard the term, the joy of the Lord? It comes from him. Jesus said in John 10:10, I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. And what was it that the angels said that they were bringing? Not just joy, but great joy. For centuries, God spoke to his people through the prophets, the many prophets, and he promised his Messiah was coming, his anointed one. And in sending Jesus, God kept his promises, and he would then fulfill all of the scripture. You know, in the town of David, the angels pointed to Christ's birth, fulfilling the Old Testament prophecy of Micah, chapter 5, verse 2, that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. From you, one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. Did you know that in the Old Testament there are 116 prophecies of the coming of the Messiah? And all of them were made hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus and fulfilled to the letter in Christ Jesus the Messiah. George Herron, a French mathematician, calculated the odds of one man fulfilling only 40 of those prophecies And the odds are 1 in 10 to the power of 157. Mathematicians, anybody figure that out? That's a 1 followed by 157 zeros. Now compare this to the odds of winning the Georgia lottery. They're 14 followed by 6 zeros. Quite a difference in odds. In the Old Testament, the prophecy becomes clear, and a single stream flows to the ultimate climax when God said, I reveal myself to some at this level, to some at this level, and to some at this level, until the prophetic revelation of God comes to fulfill in the sending of his only Son, Jesus Christ. Mary and Joseph, they traveled to Bethlehem in order that the prophecy might be fulfilled. And there, Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Messiah, was born. You see, in sending his Son to earth, it was God's design that Christ would provide our salvation. A Savior has been born, the angel said. It's been said that if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness. So God sent us a Savior. And that's what Jesus did for us. He died so that we might live. His death on the cross paid the price for our sins. And the only strings that are attached to that whole deal is that we believe in him. Very important that we remember just who Jesus is. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he left his throne in heaven to become a baby. But that doesn't make him any less the King of creation. The angels proclaim he is Christ the Lord. Christ is the Greek form of the word Messiah, or anointed one. At the sound of his kingly name, which is above every name, we all know this, every knee should bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. One very important thing for us to remember is that Christmas happened because God decided to come as a man, as a baby, wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. God came to walk among us so that he might wrap his arms around us. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16 reminds us that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we might receive mercy and might find grace to help in time of need. God spoke to us through the angels that night, who said, and this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. As we know, the Lord spoke through the prophets. One of them in particular is Jeremiah. And he said this, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart, and I will be found by you. Jeremiah 29, 13 and 14. Our Lord Jesus Christ made it crystal clear as he told us who he was and why he came. On the night before he died, he said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the only way in which we can make a connection with God. And that's why he came on that first Christmas night. And that's what Christmas is all about. We rejoice tonight the fact that God loves us so very much that he came to us, he became a dependent baby. I want you to think about that. Here is the King of all creation. He left his throne and he became a dependent baby, relying on his earthly parents to care for his every need. We all know how babies are. The King of the universe became one of us so that he could become the true Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That's from John chapter 1, verse 29. May we humbly receive the gift that he has given us this Christmas, the gift of eternal life with him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.